Welcome to What the Hex, where we cover Warhammer Underworlds in under 30 minutes. I'm your host, Davey, and with us tonight is Phil. How you doing, Phil?
Doing all right.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. As usual, we'll give you a quick time frame since some of this information may be time sensitive. We're recording still shortly after the release of the banned and restricted list. And also, this is our second episode. We really want to say thanks. We got a little bit of positive feedback from folks out there. Excited to see something. Just dropping us a line is great. That's all the more welcome since we gave you barely any way to do so last time because I did not yet have a Twitter set up. So we are at WTHcast. Phil, we are going to talk today about community resources. Reason we're running at this is... I felt starved for Underworlds content for quite a while, and it took me a while to kind of build up a little bit of library, a little bit of links that I check out, places to go to, and I figure other people are probably in the same boat. So you and I compared notes on things that we thought were cool, things that we thought people should know about, and we'll throw them out there. And as usual, make no claim to being a comprehensive list, so if we leave something out that you think is totally awesome, let us know, and we'll send it out to our legions of listeners and let everybody know about that. So anything you want to hit here, Phil, before we jump in?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. So yeah, we'll be covering podcasts, blogs, some of the deck builders, YouTube channels out there. We're gonna in some categories we'll give a specific highlight where we, you know, say what or why this is our special highlight for that one. But really, you know, part of what makes these cool is, so, you know, for me, I don't get out to play as much as I'd like to. And I'm sure that hits, you know, for a lot of people. In a game like this, where there's a whole lot of sort of analysis, you know, there's the deck building side and there's the thoughts of, like, you know, combos and all that sort of thing, going through some thought cycles when you're not playing, can scratch that itch a little bit and then get you excited to come in and play. So that's what kind of does on a, on a stretch where I'm not getting many games in, I'll read blogs or consume other content and then be raring to go and get the most out of the times when I do get to play. What do we want to start with? We want to kick it off with podcasts?
I think that sounds good.
All right. Claim the City. Have you been listening to this one?
I've got a few episodes under my belt. I admittedly don't spend as much time listening as I would like, but they've had some good stuff from what I've heard so far.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're about a 1 hour podcast. I call them, their style is sort of a current event style. Like, here's the latest and greatest. They're going to talk about the meta. They're going to talk about, you know, the recent releases and their thoughts on them. So they'll give a hot take and then analysis a little bit later. Get into some of that. I know they're out on the West Coast. It sounds like maybe the LA area. There's three hosts. It sounds like they record all in the same room, which is a bonus. You can kind of tell when people are able to make that eye contact and be conversational. I might be wrong. Maybe they're just awesome at doing the remote. But I particularly appreciate it for one. It was the only podcast on the scene doing anything about Underworlds for a while, which sounds like a backhanded compliment, but I think even if there was competition, I would be listening to these guys. What I like is they are genuinely enthusiastic about the game, sort of a positive attitude, but not necessarily blindly so. And as far as listening, they're willing to make those bold statements like, hey, I think this is great. I think this is not good for the game. And they'll make those, but they're not scared to come back and say, hey, we're wrong. You know, so I think... maybe early on with Cataphrane Relics, when they were first dropping, they were like, I don't see what the big deal is. I think they were calling it a role-playing deck and stuff. After a little more analysis, they're like, actually, you know, this is pretty rough. So definitely worth checking them out. You've heard, is it the most recent couple episodes that you've checked out? Or?
I specifically looked out their first episode just to sort of get a feel for what they were. And then I also... picked out a few later ones that I were more specific to my interests. I especially was curious about what they thought of the banned and restricted list, see what things, sort of insights they had. And yeah, definitely had some good things there, some stuff I hadn't thought about. Sort of the potential longer term effects, some of the things that they thought it might shake out in the meta that I hadn't thought about. Some things that maybe I agreed with or didn't. Farstriders, I think they thought were hit pretty hard, and I'm not 100% sold on that, but they made some strong arguments there, and yeah, just some generally good analysis. I definitely picked up that they all sort of have different takes on a lot of the different details of the game, and I kind of like having those different viewpoints, and that they can all look at the same issue, but then take different things out of it, and gives a nice three-pronged sort of discussion and analysis that gets going in there.
Definitely, yeah. So you can check them out on Facebook. They have a Twitter handle, and then I think they're available. I found them on a multiple podcast app. So it's Claim the City podcast, named for the oh so powerful objective card. So I was not aware of this until we released our first episode, but there is another podcast out there. You may not be aware of it. And, you know, if you're listening to us, you probably already know about Claim the City, but here's one you might not know about. It's a Battle for Salvation Underworlds, or Warhammer Underwords. They got a colon in there, but Battle for Salvation is a search you want to do. They're a little bit tricky to find. They're not up at the time of this release. They're not up on iTunes yet. Podbean is the place you can find them. Or if you want to check out one sample episode, I'd recommend going to Facebook, searching for Battle for Salvation. You should see the Warhammer Underworlds version. And then they got some hot links so you can listen. You can stream an episode, check it out, see if it's a tier style. They're about 2 hours long. Also a current event style. They're from the New York area. So what's fun there is it's a different meta than the Claim the City podcast. So you get a different perspective, which is always kind of fun, compare and contrast. I love it when I read one blog that says, you know, Reavers are, you know, close to the top right now, and, you know, listen to Claim the City, put them at the very bottom. And that's a fun part of the game right now, is seeing all the different sort of opinions still settling out. There's not like a universally accepted truth or whatever. So if you listen to us, listen to Claim the City, and you're still hungering for more, hit these guys up. They're about 2 hours long, I think I said, and really in depth. They'll go blow by blow. Two main hosts, and they'll sometimes bring a guest in. Also, if you are checking them out and you are trying to figure out what happened to their first few episodes, they're re-recording those. They released on a platform, Twitch TV or something, that did not keep their old episodes for posterity. So they start somewhere around episode 3 or 4 and then are working back a little bit. But yeah, that's what they got going. So that's about it for the podcast landscape. There is a ton of YouTube stuff out there. Some of it's just like dipping their toe in, people doing an intro, how to play, that sort of thing. There's some that are really doing it upright. Phil, you found a few. Is there anyone you want to particularly talk about?
So the one that I like the best is Agents of Sigmar. They're a group of two guys based somewhere in the UK. I'm not entirely sure. But they started right away, very early on when the game first came out. They sort of started with a how-to-play series, and it was kind of obvious from their first outings that they were sort of learning at the same time as trying to teach. There were some mistakes made early on, but they were good about recognizing and going back and addressing those things. They've had pretty frequent releases pretty much ever since. I don't have an exact count, but I know that I would say it seems pretty much weekly almost that they've had content, and most of what their content is battle reports. They do they will predetermine, you know, a match between them to say, like, I'm going to use this warband, my opponent's using this warband. They build their decks separately, record separate analyses of their decks ahead of time, so that when you go in to watch, you know this is the warband I'm watching, this is the deck that this warband is using, so I know ahead of time what's each player trying to accomplish, and then they actually record the battle report.
Yeah, and what I like about that is that those the releases that are about here's what I've put into my deck, they're pretty quick and to the point, but they're also separate from the main thing. So if you're not feeling, if you just want to jump straight in, you can skip those. If you want to have your, you know, sort of pre-game preparation, you can go check those out too. I think that's a pretty clever split that they got going on.
Yeah, definitely. And it also gives you a nice way of trying to just get some ideas, do some brainstorming for deck builds without having to try and piece together what somebody's doing in game, or trying to just like pick up, you know, because some other groups, they sort of say, oh, I'm playing this, you know, group with this deck as sort of just a precursor to the actual match. And so they'll just have a quick, you know, 5 minutes start of the video where they just sort of throw up quick, here's the cards I'm using, and then we'd blow right past that, which is sometimes hard to, you know, unless you're willing to stop and read through everything that they listed out. Like, otherwise you're pretty much just going in blind on the decks, and maybe you don't even care about how that game went. You just want to see, okay, how is this person building? Is it different from mine? Same as mine? What right. pieces, you know, would I maybe want to steal from them?
Yeah. One of the other things they do real well is and they've slightly changed how they do it, but they give you a good look in at what hand each person is carrying. They used to always show what cards were in the hand at all time. Now they'll do a little flash up so you got an idea. And I found that huge for watching a game, because then when you see like a weird move, you say, oh, I know he's trying to accomplish this. And there's some give and take, because sometimes you're like, oh, why are you doing that? And you're like, well, I got information he doesn't. I know what's in the other person's hand or whatever. But I think that's real strong. And then production quality, right? Like they put a lot of effort into that, and it shows.
Yeah, they do some pretty great green screen work, so they can get the cards up there, so they can have the dice rolls sort of on screen without it being too intrusive. It just sort of, at least from the episodes that I've watched, I haven't checked them in the last few months, but they would always have it sort of just show up as needed, and it would be right there in screen. You wouldn't have to like have a separate split window or anything. And their camera works just generally pretty good, so you get a good top-down view of the board. There's not a lot of weird like angling where you sort of lose track of anything that's going on, which is nice. Sure. Just generally pretty well done.
Yeah, good point, because like the dice rolls are all, they have like a, I don't know, where it shows up in front of the board, so you see all the dice rolls as they're happening, and that keeps you engaged. Yeah, so strong recommendation. 2 points for great name. 2 more points for awesome release schedule. I think every Friday you're getting a battle report. They have more for Patreon folks, but even if you don't do that, you get some great stuff. Go check them out, Agents of Sigmar. Let's see. Other things that I would mention, there's a Battlecast. It looks like he had a little dormant period, but he's back up and running. I would assume by the accent that he's Canadian. I could be wrong, and I'm happy to be corrected on that. Has some of the great, some of the things that make Agents of Sigmar cast good, where he's got the cards in hand. He'll be displaying those. Production quality is maybe a little bit lower, but he edits it well, so a whole game can go by pretty quickly if you want just a quick hit. So also worth checking out. I think I end up doing a search for Battlecast Underworlds, but Battlecast will get you there. Battlecast or Battlecast Shadespire. Phil, you find any others?
Yeah. So there's a few that I sort of ran across in the early days when the game first came out that were being done by, so one is Mini Wargaming. They really haven't kept up with it on, obviously they do, I mean, if you're familiar with them, they do lots of other battle reports for all sorts of games, but they focus a lot on 40K and AOS. So it was sort of natural that they would at least try out this new game from Games Workshop. They did sort of a how to how to play. They did a few battle reports, and their battle reports are just generally pretty well done because they have this sort of full-time channel where they're constantly putting out content, so they just generally know how to film a battle report. But other than that, they really don't dig in very much, so it's sort of a it's good if you just are curious what other people are trying, or if you're just getting into the game and want to see, oh, what is this, how is it played, and get a quick entertaining battle report in. But if you're really looking to dig into deck building and stuff, they don't have quite as much to offer. And then sort of split off from Mini Wargaming, there's Guerrilla Miniature Games, which is by Ash, I believe is his name, used to work with Mini Wargaming, now has his own separate channel. It's pretty similar, really. Same sort of format. He does a lot of the just sort of overviews with the releases to say, like, you know, this is what I think of it, this is what's in each release, and then has a few battle reports. Again, he does a lot of content for a lot of different games, so the depth isn't necessarily there, but it can still give you a quick, good overview if you're just looking for some different perspectives, different opinions on how to build and play certain warbands.
Cool. Yeah. I know that I've checked some of the Mini Wargaming. I can't remember if I've seen some of the Guerrilla Miniature. But yeah, when it was real scarce on the ground, I was scouring for anything I could find.
So yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right. So yeah, our highlight, Agents of Sigmar, Battlecast, Guerrilla Miniature Games, Mini Wargaming. Anything else you want to hit from the YouTube direction?
I guess I would just throw out there for people who are really new, maybe aren't even sure if they're interested in the game yet, that even just Games Workshop's YouTube channel, they have some pretty well-produced content, at least as just introductions to what is Warhammer Underworlds, how do you play it at the very basic level. And they break it down, I think, into a few different videos to help sort of explain the different phases of the game. And so it's not all just all at once, here is this, you know, maybe 40-minute video that's a full explanation of a, you know, fairly complex game if you've never really done anything in wargaming before. Mm. And so it can give you a nicer sort of bite-sized chunk to say, you know, here's a sales pitch, here's how the game plays, is this of your interest?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good way for people who are maybe less familiar to sort of get their feet wet.
Absolutely. That's a good point. Totally forgot about that, John. Let's see. Well, we got blogs and deck builders. I think I've been dipping my toe in more into the blogs than you have. So I'll give a quick rundown of some of the ones I would recommend or that I've been checking out. But if you've got one that you want to throw out, you're welcome to jump in. Let's see. So I got four that are on my regular check. And I sometimes I'll know that these are popping up because of Facebook groups. There's weirdly, Facebook has like a Warhammer Underworlds page and a Warhammer Underworlds community page, which gets me a little mixed up over whether I've seen some or not. But Jamie Giblin out of the UK, very accomplished player. He has sort of the commentary current events. Lately, he's been doing a series of where he thinks each warband is in the meta. He makes he puts out cataphranerelic.com. A good info there, well written, good style. Appreciate that. So definitely check that one out. SteelCityUnderworlds.com. My understanding is that Sheffield is the Steel City in the UK. PJ Shard, Paul Wagner is somewhere shouting at me whether I'm right or wrong. He's just letting me know through the ether. But I think they're pretty similar to Cataphrane. They're doing some of the similar things, sort of the hot takes. They do have a team of writers, so that's fun. Like you were talking about with Claim the City, you're getting multiple perspectives, and I appreciate that. I think they're a little bit less regular on their output. That's SteelCityUnderworlds.com. There's CanYouRollACrit.com. That's John Reese. He is an extraordinarily accomplished player. I think he's won at least two Grand Clashes, maybe more. And I will say, the UK folks, whether they know it or not, they are spoiled for events.
Definitely.
We We to win any kind of shade glass whatsoever, we'd have to really do some traveling. I'm gonna try and get us an event locally so people get another chance, and I'll be doing some travel. But I've been reading these blogs and these guys are like, yeah, I went and played in two tournaments this weekend. I'm like, what? Like, even if I could make the time, I couldn't find two tournaments.
Be lucky to find two games.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John Reese's Can You Roll a Crit.com. Good stuff. It reads a little bit more like a game diary. There's a little less, actionable intel on there. I would, to put it in those kind of terms. Sometimes he's keeping his secrets close because he's keeping his tech secret so he can surprise people. I know in the very end of the season one stuff, sometimes some of the entries would bleed together a bit. It would be like Quick Thinker, and then My Turn, and then Time Trap, and then like I was like, I feel like I read this post before, and then oh no, that was something else, you know. And that was maybe a commentary on the game, but definitely guys accomplished. He's got a lot of good knowledge, and you might have to read between the lines to get some of that. But having said that, I want to highlight callitshadespire.com, and I highlight this in particular. It may not be for everyone because it gets really crunchy, really in-depth analysis, but it's doing something that by and large no one else is doing. That's Steve Van out of New Mexico. He is got a number of segments, but mostly lately he's been focusing on something he calls cardiology. Fun little pun for those of you who like that sort of thing. But he picks a card and goes really in depth on that card. So a good example, recently he looked at Irresistible Prize, and you and I talked about that a little bit in our push ploy episode last week or 2 weeks ago. And basically take our little conversation and stretch it out to a full blog post. He looks at all the different things. He'll lay out, here's the different uses that you may or may not have thought of. He looks at board setups. He talked a little bit, you know, we mentioned maybe strategically placing objectives specifically to be able to take advantage. And so he's run down that road a little bit more, given an example on a board. Here's where I might place one where I could definitely drag a bunch of orcs back into their own board to really frustrate them, kind of get you that and then he'll give a alternative path. So like if you're thinking about this or you want to go a different route, here's another card to consider. So that's been my favorite. Every time one of those pops up, I if I've got the time, I'll read it right away, and if not, I'll bookmark it and I'll probably read it same day. So called it shadespire.com. that's my highlight from the blog realm for you. Anything to throw in there?
Not especially. Can You Roll a Crit is sort of the only one that I've read a fair amount of. And even then it's been sort of few and far between when I take the time to actually sit down and read through blog posts. I usually try to get my fix in with audio so I can be listening while I'm working on other stuff. It's great that there's sort of the wide range of content in blogs. I know that I like the sort of stuff that Call It Shadespire does, but I know that that can be way too much for some people if it's like, well, I'm really just trying to get a higher level understanding of certain things. And it's like, if I have to read through, you know, 10 different deep analyses of individual cards to get that, that's probably too much. So, it's nice having that range, but just know what you're going in for, because, you know, the tools will be best suited for the specific job they're made for. Right. I mean, it's like, you don't look at every problem with a hammer and think that that's going to be the appropriate choice.
Right.
And similarly, if you're looking to get very fine tuned deck, something like Call It Shadespire is going to be great. But if you're just wanting a new idea, that's probably not the direction you're going to want to go.
Sure. Side note for you, Phil, he did have a section. So sometimes where he's going on, looking at different fighter cards, there's one entertaining article where he compares Narvia to Turash from the, like, which is better.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's got a pretty good, I'll leave you to read it yourself. He's got a pretty good metaphor for the two. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Definitely go at least read the too long. Oh, that's the other thing. He does a too long didn't read at the beginning. So if you don't want to read the whole thing, you can read, you know, four sentences, which summarize his whole thing, which might just be like, yeah, this card is actually pretty bad after I looked at it, you know? So, all right. Deck builder is our last category we want to hit. I'm going to highlight underworldsdb.com, but first let's run down the official deck builder real quick. You probably already know about it, but, if you're doing it all, if you have not been using a deck builder, this one's perfectly fine. The guys at, Battle for Salvation are pretty negative on it. I think they're a little bit overly harsh. It's got a nice filter. I think you and I were both using that. We're, on the first one, you just, what mm-hmm. we put in, push, like typed in the word push and then filtered for ploys. And then it brought up like everything we needed. And it was fun to just be able to scroll through the cards as you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's got a pretty nice UI. I mean, there's a few sort of website layout problems, I feel like,
yeah, definitely
that you sort of have to deal with sort of the double scroll bar thing, which can be a little annoying, but I mean, once you get the screen sort of set where you need it to see the cards, that's probably not really going to be an issue. And then, yeah, the filter I think is pretty great. Being able to just quickly change out, you know, if you're, you know, focused on building one specific deck, you can just filter down to just that warband. Or if you're wanting to just say, oh, you know, these are the only cards I have, you can very quickly just pull out, like, say you haven't picked up the leaders or the, you know, Zarbags yet. You just click on those two, they're out. Nothing from those two get shown. That's, you know, that'll save you a lot of headaches from having to page through all of your physical cards, because it can just be a lot faster to have stuff show up fast. And then of course the organized play toggle, I think that's probably my favorite feature, where it can just on screen show you all of the restricted cards, and then of course just filter out the ones that are banned. That's obviously super important. Yeah. You don't want to show up to an event and have accidentally included too many restricted cards or something like that.
Yeah. The last time you and I played, you'd not had time to shuffle stuff out. So we're like, it's fine. We'll just use what you got. And we knew there was some banned and restricted in there. And the first time, Quick Thinker popped out, I was like, oh,
yeah,
rough. You imagine
knowing that,
knowing that
it's out now, it really burns that much more.
yeah. Well, I'd done it because I'd had it in my deck, and I'd only ever mostly seen it from the other side, so it was very healthy for me to get it my heart broken by it. So and then the only other thing I wanted to mention about this one is that if you are having trouble with the UI, one thing that can help, you can go direct to the deck builder instead of going through the site. If you go deckbuilder.warhammerunderworlds.com, that'll bring you straight to the deck builder, and you won't have those extra panes above and below, which may help clean up some of your problems. So give it a shot if you're having trouble. Highlight real quick, I wanted to, if you're not aware of it, underworldsdb.com. It includes the only thing, and I think this is the reason they might have gone with the deck builder they did. I think it's visual layout is not quite as pretty as the official deck builder, and so I think that may be why they went the other way. It does have a lot more functionality, as far as it has all the filters. It has you can have the restricted and banned. It has icons to show you that, and then it'll also have a deck database, so it'll show you here's the decks, and they'll mark it, and they'll mark it confirmed once they've confirmed that was the actual deck. So, for example, attention to you, Phil, German Masters recently, I think December 1st, it was won by a Tzeentch deck. So you can go on there and say, what was this guy playing with that he won this event with a Tzeentch deck?
Very nice.
It's got the capability to do test draws. So once you got a deck built, you can say, all right, deal me my first five power cards and my first three objectives. So you just run through that a couple times just to get a feel for what you might see. And then one of the slickest things, I think, is... that they have the errata and FAQ hot linked in. So if you're scrolling past the card and you see a little icon off on the right, you can click on it and it'll say, here's the FAQs that apply to this card, which is super cool. Cause a lot of times I'll see a card, I'm like, I feel like there was something about this card. You know, I've read the FAQ a few times, but I can't remember for sure if there's something on this one or was it something, you know, and so you got it right there at hand with you while you're thinking about it instead of having to go look for a different document. So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Pretty handy. And you can save a bunch of decks. I have a number of them saved on there. And unfortunately most of them are, prior to BAR, banned and restricted. So gotta flush the old, Farstriders deck, and rebuild that. So, but that is our look at the resources out there for you. Phil, anything we want to hit before signing off for this week?
I guess just, maybe it's just a shout out that if there's anything that you know of that we didn't mention that you want to bring attention to out in the community, give us a shout out, let us know, so that we can make sure that more people hear about it. Because like Davey said, you know, it's sometimes it's a little bit tough sledding trying to pull up all these resources and trying to figure out what's out there, because it's not always the easiest thing to find in just random Google search. So the more the community can be talking with each other and getting this information out there so it's more well known, I think that'll be better for everybody.
Yeah, totally. We would love to help anyone out who's creating content out there and pass the word along there. So if you got something, you got to let us know. Let us know at WTHcast on Twitter or whatthehexcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and catch us in 2 weeks' time, and we'll be covering third end phase objectives is the plan. We'll see you then. What is this podcast called? All right.